This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget no way they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way they sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget no way they turned their backs on Paul Bogle. Hey, so don't you forget no you, who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got
good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Today is August the 3rd in the beautiful Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I am your co-host, Darvin Russell, on this intermittent rainy Sunday. The captain is running a little behind today, so I'm going to kick us off today. Last week, we were not here, as you know, so we took a little hiatus, and today will be our last show while Garth is on vacation for the next couple of weeks, I believe it is. Today's conversation, for those of you that like, you know, you like the topic in church, you know, when Bishop gets up to speak, the topic for today. So today we're going to be having a conversation around entitlement. What does entitlement mean to you? Do you believe, as citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we are an entitled people? And how does that manifest itself in our culture? For you who will like to join us today on our conversation here on Remark, the phone numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. In the family of islands, you can call us at 242-300-5720. And those of you that are texting us today, you can text us at 422-4796. As always, you know, I like to do my research before each and every show. So when you hear the term entitlement, what does that sound like to you? What does that reek of? I will just give you the dictionary's definition for your edification. It says entitlement is entitlement, it's the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. So one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. The types of entitlement, or some of the entitlements, I should say, that we have as citizens of almost every democratic society. We are entitled to a right to life, a right to liberty, a right to the security of our personhood. We are entitled to freedom of speech, and in the Bahamas, of religion and assembly, and the right to a fair trial. Now, if you do your research further, according to the psychologists, there are multiple types of entitlement. And some of them that we might touch on tonight include: entitlements can be restrictive, they can be dependent, entitlements can involve a barter system, There can be entitlements of impulsivity, and there can also be emotional entitlement. Now, when you travel around the world, as I sometimes do and many of you do, I'm sure you have heard from other cultures that Bahamians sometimes come across as an entitled people. Now, that can be a loaded, sensitive statement for others to make, but I'm asking you this afternoon, is that true? Do you think we as a people have a sense of entitlement? Do we have a sense of entitlement? So let's look at some of these in some detail. Restrictive entitlement. This involves individual who initially appear selfless but become demanding and controlling when their expectations are not met. Man, this just sounds like a relationship. This involves individuals who initially appear selfless but become demanding and controlling when expectations are not met. What a time. Oh, Lord, I'm having flashbacks. Yeah, so this is definitely sounds like some romantic relationships, right? All right, second type of entitlement, dependent entitlement. This type of entitlement involves the belief that others are obliged to meet one's needs and desires, often leading to exploitation of those who are perceived as kind or accommodating. Let me read that one again. Dependent entitlement. This type of entitlement involves the belief that others are obligated to meet one's needs and desires, often leading to exploitation of those who are perceived as kind or accommodating. So I know some of you have friends, family members, may even be yourselves, who reflect this kind of experience. So I have a good friend, for example, and one of the things that we talk about is the fact that in modern day culture, when you hear women talk about being submissive, this is akin to what this dependent sort of entitlement can look like when it is abused. So if you are a submissive mate, ladies, and you have a young man that you're dating or married to, and all of a sudden, because you are a kind, you are accommodating to his wishes, he abuses those privileges, because he does not know how to lead. So that is what dependent entitlement looks like. The third type of entitlement that we talked about is the barter system entitlement. The barter system entitlement. This type is characterized by the belief that relationships are based on a transactional exchange where favors must be repaid with equal or greater value. Barter system entitlement. This is characterized by the belief that relationships are based on a transactional exchange where favors must be repaid with equal or greater value. So this, I think, reflects reciprocity when its intent is not love. Okay, so you do for me, I do for you. If I take you out to dinner tonight, you got to take me out to dinner tomorrow night, spend equal or greater value on me. That's not necessarily exhibiting the kinds of agape love that we should be exhibiting in relationships. That is what we call barter system entitlement. So when in Bahamian culture, you know, it's kind of like whatever you do for me, I am expected to do for you. Han go, han come. That's not the ideal when you're talking about relationships, because once the relationship becomes transactional, it lends itself to even more complications in the future, and it oftentimes is void of love. That's what a barter system of entitlement looks like. Number 4 of 5, impulsivity entitlement. This type involves justifying harmful or impulsive behaviors by claiming them as authentic expressions of self. This type involves justifying harmful or impulsive behaviors by claiming them as authentic expressions of self. You might hear phrases that a person who exhibit this, they might say things like, "This is just who I am. You know, I've been this way my entire life." Impulsivity entitled involves justifying harmful or impulsive behaviors by claiming them as authentic expressions of self. And the last one is emotional entitlement. Emotional entitlement. And this refers to the belief that one is entitled to specific emotions, such as feeling happy or angry, regardless of the circumstances. This refers to the belief that one is entitled to specific emotions, such as feeling happy or angry, regardless of the circumstances. So this is almost like a person who ignores anybody else in the room, anybody else that's a part of the conversation, anybody else that's involved in the very situation that they find themselves in. Those people still feel emotionally entitled to express themselves regardless of the circumstances or how toxic their behavior may be. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about entitlement. And of course, the captain probably will have his own perspective, as he often does when he spins what I thought would have been a simple conversation into something rather complex. So the captain has sat down in the captain's chair, and I will turn the mic over so he can say good afternoon to all of you faithful listeners of Remark.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone once again for tuning in. And, you know, everywhere I go, people are telling me they're tuning in on Sundays at 5. So I am appreciative of that. My good friend there over at that hardware store on Gladstone Road, I just saw you this morning, and you told me you follow us everywhere we go. So I really do appreciate that, and all the other people this week that I've mentioned. So your time on Sunday is very precious to us, very precious to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Thankful for Darvin Russell for being here today. We do have some other guests lined up for you, some interesting guests. Want to talk about some youth situations next week, if we could. Building young people. Darvin is a fan of young people, especially his daughter. You know, he speaks about his daughter. And I think we're going to have a little youth to them. Right thereafter, we have some other guest hosts coming in, because Darvin's a family man, and I have family to go and see, so we're going to make arrangements.
Well, the princess arrived yesterday, so you know I am in glee right now.
You want me to tell you why I was delayed today?
Uh-huh.
It was a very hot day today.
Yes, it was.
I did go out, and I started my chores extremely early today.
Oh, okay.
I went to help a friend out with his boat.
Mm-hmm.
And left there to do some shopping for a client, got home in all that heat, and then the boat mechanic says, "Now it's your turn. I got to look at your boat."
My Lord.
I said, "Thank you, Jesus."
So you couldn't run out on him because he's doing you a favor.
I couldn't tell him
no. No, man, I
understand. But listen, when I was done, I would have been here early, but guess what happened now? Mm-hmm. I was drenched in sweat.
Yeah.
I mean, soaking wet. Yeah. You take your shirt and wring it out. And water. Mm-hmm. I said, "Geez, I got to take a bath."
Yeah.
And so the bath is what kept me, because every drop of water I put on my skin, I wanted another drop of water.
Wow.
And so I'm thankful for my health today, my sanity, my peace of mind. I'm thankful for the rain that just fell upon the beautiful sunny Bahamas. This is timely. And Darvin Russell, I did listen to the definitions of entitlement as we spoke about, and I think it was quite profound. Now, your fans told me that they love you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't come on here unless you here.
I have fans. I didn't know I had fans, man. You know, I thought I had one fan. You know who my number one fan?
Yeah, but you got some fans with that. They just said that one that they want to knock me over. So entitlement. Here's our issue. Mm-hmm. What type of entitlement do you see Bahamians feel most? Let me hear this. Where would you define? And I want you to be honest because, you know, mm-hmm. in radio mm-hmm. and television, mm-hmm. you Bahamian people are so sensitive, man. Mm-hmm. Y'all just sensitive as hell. Mm-hmm. Y'all know y'all wrong. Mm-hmm. Y'all know y'all ain't right. Y'all know Jesus ain't pleased with you mm-hmm. and the devil is singing your song.
Yeah.
And you don't want no one to tell you that. Mm-hmm. And our job is to support our brethren, to help our brethren, to give them love and ensure that they can have a better way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't let us do that. Mm-hmm. But what type of entitlement, honestly, Darvin Russell, do you see Bahamian people embracing?
Well, I think for the average citizen, maybe I wouldn't even say average, for a significant enough segment of our population, mm-hmm. I think we have created a culture of entitlement from the standpoint of what the expectations are from politicians. And
politicians.
Yes, and they have created that culture of their own doing. Mm. And so the entitlement that Bahamians feel, that subsegment I'm referring to, mm-hmm. Comes from a place of conditioning, if you will. So if every election cycle, if every 5 years, I have come to expect a contract, come to expect a raise, come to expect permanent and pensionable appointments, come to expect parks being maintained, come to expect certain gifts and favors. Hmm. I have now been conditioned in that way. And as a result of that, I demand and hold you to account for what you have either perceived to be a promise or was a literal promise to you, whether it be on the campaign trail, be in the privacy of your own homes. But I am going to hold you to account for those things that I perceive to be an entitlement of me and mine. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Well, you heard what Darvin Russell said. I'm not going to say anything to that yet. What I am going to do is throw those numbers out there so you can call in and tell us how do you feel about entitlement, and you let me know what type of entitlement that you believe the Bahamian people most embrace. Those numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. That text line is 422-4796. What spurred this thought to me, Darvin Russell, is that I'm on a line at one of the local establishments on the side of the road. It's very hot. And I want to get something to drink. Mm-hmm. There may be some 6-7 people there. Have you ever watched how the young men arrive at that establishment and walk straight to the front line, straight to the counter, and I need one backward, I need one leaf?
Regardless of who's in line.
You don't care who's in the line.
Okay.
They just walk straight to the front of the line as if there's no one on that line, and serve me now. Mm-hmm. What type of madness is that? Is that a feeling of entitlement? And where does that demon come from? I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, where does the demon come from when a man says, hey, baby, hey, darling, mm-hmm. well, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Where does that spirit come from, that demon that says, so you buy me lunch a day?
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. You give me $20 a day.
Sure.
Huh? Mm-hmm. You give me Friday. Mm-hmm. Is that a spirit of entitlement that we experience here in this country?
It is.
What about when it's time to pay the rent? We already know what's going to happen. It's government payday. It's private payday. Everybody know you got this money. And the minute you see the landlord, it's an automatic conversation that says, check me tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Check me tomorrow. It ain't happening today. We've been waiting for this money all month long. Mm-hmm. But we got to check you now tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about entitlement. I'm talking about the entitlement that says that because you go to church, because you pay tithe and offering, there's a belief that you should be served first wherever you go. You should get the best of whatever you have because you are a child of the King. And if anyone's going to be blessed today, it's going to be you. Mm-hmm. Is that a right or wrongful type of entitlement? Mm-hmm. And then something else disturbed me this morning, Darvin Russell. I'm not trying to judge anybody, but I'm trying to understand something. Mm-hmm. I left the house. I passed one church. And then there's someone setting up a tent with chairs and microphone and everything right next door to the church.
Okay.
I understand that once we hold this Holy Bible,
yes,
we're dealing with Christendom. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the show right before this, Your Lane. It was a very good show. It wasn't judgmental. If you got to leave your church and do what you got to do, do it. I like that show. Last mm-hmm. show, Your Lane, with Ms. Hannah, that was very mm-hmm. good. So mm-hmm. I just want to mention that to you. I did listen. But I'm wondering if you're serving the same God and the same Spirit that teaches all things, how is it that you got to have one church next door with 15 people, now you're trying to start a new church with five?
Yeah.
Where is that same God, same Spirit that unifies, that teaches, says, you know what? Love demands that we work together. The entitlement of empowerment to me seems as if what works for Darwin is supposed to work for God.
Okay.
And we could set up shop right next door because God is going to bless Darwin differently than he's going to bless God.
Okay.
I'm watching that too. Mm-hmm. So this whole spirit of entitlement, I want to know how the Bahamian people feel, because as you have rightly said, we're going into election. And, of course, those people who are campaigning, they're going to feel entitled. This my party. Mm-hmm. And I watching y'all. And nobody could talk nothing bad about y'all. I don't care if the people get catch thiefing. Mm-hmm. As far as you're concerned, they need to thief because the other side is a bigger thief. That's how we justify things in this country.
Sure.
Opposition and government and everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so that sense of entitlement and that sense of belonging that, you know what, as long as it's my interest, selfish motif, mm-hmm. then it's going to be okay.
Okay.
I think we need to address this today, Darwin. Mm-hmm. And that's why it sat so strongly in my mind.
I got you.
Then there are some people because of their race. Mm-hmm. You're white, with entitlement. Mm-hmm. Now, you say, oh, them white people, they ain't no good. Them white people racist. Them white people put us on a slave plantation. Them white people treat us bad. Okay, let's talk about you black people now. Mm-hmm. What about you light-skinned people with the curly hair? Mm-hmm. You all think you all don't treat people bad? Mm-hmm. You only light-skinned, you know. Mm-hmm. And curly hair, you still want to ask, you mm-hmm. know. But you're light-skinned with curly hair and you treat us just as bad. Don't be one black person like us. Black like us, but you got good hair.
Yeah.
I mean, I just talking straight.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you're a black person like me and you got some money. Mm-hmm. Am I yeah. talking this thing
no,
straight?
Yeah, you are.
Or you're a black person and you happen to live way out east near the water or way out west near the water. And so you feel as if in your sense or spirit of entitlement that you can't really deal with other people because what you're expecting from life ain't what these people are ever going to get.
Yes.
How am I talking
for? Yeah, you talking sense.
Well, are you talking good?
I'm talking good.
Well, let me take a quick break, man. Let me throw those numbers out there really quick. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 300-5720, or text us at 422-4796. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Remark, Garth, Roseboro, Darwin, Russell. We're going to take this break and we'll be right back.
Taking a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
The biggest unanswered question is, where is the money?
System of survival. biggest unanswered question is, where is the money? Where is the money? The president has yet to address the issue of money.
And we're back. Listen, man, I don't know what type of entitlement Wally got today. What type of music is that, man?
Man, look at Wally. Wally at the park. I tell you, Wally ain't old enough to qualify.
You know that kind of music right there?
It went in fire.
You know it went in fire?
I know it went in fire. I wouldn't know it. Wally know, but it went in fire.
The young people, them figure, they probably know more than you and me. You know, but we're back, folks. This is Remark here on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. Just having a good, chilling Sunday. A whole lot of stuff is going on out there. A whole lot of nonsense is being carried on out there. This is the silly season of politics, but if you want a really good and sensible conversation, you tune in every Friday. Every Sunday at 5 p.m. For Remark, and we're here from 5 until 6:30. And so we're talking a little bit about entitlement, and we're looking at the young people, especially Darvin Russell. When you look at the young people, it almost seems to me as if they want to jump the line. Uh-huh. As if they want to just back the older people on the side, mm-hmm. and allow themselves to run the ship. Now, I too was young. Mm-hmm. Wally. He was young like Wally at one point.
And they too will become old if they're blessed.
They don't believe that, though. Mm-hmm.
Most young people don't.
You don't believe that. And so you believe that old people are old-fashioned, and we don't know what we're saying, we don't know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I think the young people believe that they are now ready to even take this nation over. Mm-hmm. They want the entitlement of ownership mm-hmm. of the Bahamas. I believe that is actually a present-day situation. Mm-hmm. Are you sensing the same?
Yeah, I just don't believe that these are mutually exclusive events. I'm of the camp that the two can coexist, and actually the two need to coexist for the betterment of the nation. I think there is something. I was talking to a friend of mine just yesterday about the nexus between age and wisdom. And I do think that there are some things mm-hmm. that you don't really really get in your spirit until you have matured to a certain age and a certain degree or level of experience. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, there is an agility, there is an intellectual curiosity, there is a capacity, technologically speaking especially, that young people possess that would augur well for us as a country to listen, adopt, and adhere to. So I don't believe that we need to be fighting each other. We need to find a way in certain places and spaces to collaborate more for the greater and more effective governance of our country.
The older generation seems to be out of touch when it comes to this whole digitalization mm-hmm. and this AI mm-hmm. generation. I mean, I think they got us with that.
Yeah.
Even I am a bit antiquated when it comes to knowing how to use a smartphone most effectively.
Sure.
And even our basic computer skills, they keep on changing the program. Mm-hmm. That it's supposed to be simple mm-hmm. or more simple, but it's too much for me.
Yeah.
If I would absorb myself into these gadgets, I believe I'll begin to lose the skill set of plumbing and
okay.
masonry and mechanics. Mm-hmm. And even those trades are now becoming digitalized.
Yeah.
What the heck? Mm-hmm. We're becoming like dinosaurs mm-hmm. in our own lifetime. But if the young people don't grasp these very same technologies mm-hmm. and adopt them, mm-hmm. then it means then that our entire nation is going to now be left behind because the wisdom of digitalization I do not possess.
Okay.
I don't have it. Mm-hmm. And if I'm trying to inspire the younger people to adopt that, how can I when I myself don't understand it?
But I do think that one of the things that you can bring to the table as a older person is a strategy around how you integrate technology into the current environment. Let me give you an example as to what I mean. Oftentimes, when a young person may be looking to solve a problem, answer a question, they go to ChatGPT. They go to Google, powered by AI. They get an answer. They don't know the context, however, of the answer. You know the context of the answer, and context is important.
Why so?
Context is important because not because AI gave you the answer means the answer is most applicable for the situation of today. Because remember, AI is aggregating data based off of an historical context. It's not thinking per se futuristically.
So if you ask AI the same question 10 times, do you get 10 different answers? Or do you get
possibly, no, you could possibly, depending upon, and this is not my field of complete expertise, but depending upon the AI program that you're, I mean, if you type that same
question
in ChatGPT versus DeepSeek and some of the others,
yeah,
they will render different answers to you.
Jesus.
So this is not monolithic by any stretch of the imagination. The AI builds off of existing knowledge, not things that have yet to be discovered, not thoughts that have yet to be formulated and placed somewhere in the electronic ecosystem. I say that to say, while my daughter's generation may be able to quickly answer a question, I am there to guide the answer and apply it to the right situation.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, you are trying to solve the affordable healthcare situation in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. You say the cost of healthcare is too expensive. Mm-hmm. AI may generate a healthcare model that makes sense to lower the cost of healthcare, right? They might give you some steps or some possible solutions. Well, those possible solutions are solutions that have existed or exist somewhere currently. Mm-hmm. The nuance of the problem in the Bahamas is very specific in certain ways that AI not necessarily fit in our world. I can provide that context as a seasoned person, mm-hmm. who can look at AI's, what it produced as a probable solution, and decipher that to say whether or not I think all of these elements could work or this one needs to be modified. That's what I'm saying. So I do believe that we can coexist healthily. I do also believe we have to recognize the direction that technology is going in some predictive way. Because if we don't make a decision around where we wish to play in the future world, I think we are, as a nations will be left behind. I was watching a documentary the other day, and permit me some latitude here, Garth. I was watching a documentary the other day, and some professions, occupations, unlucky, technology can't intervene in that, man. That they safe. Those jobs are safe. Mm-hmm. If you're a courier, there's now drone delivery. Okay? If you are a surgeon and you think that your skill is so excellent that you are now sought after, you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars per year, they now have surgeons that are better than you in another part of the world that may make a fraction of what you make and now can perform the surgery robotically from their part of the world, mm-hmm. in an operating room in your country in 15, 20 years. So that job, with all of your skill, all of your knowledge, all of your schooling, may become redundant. I saw another article and documentary that spoke about the farming community. We think as farmers that we say, Fuga Uga, pick them greens, right? Uga, pick them mango. Uga, milk the cow, right? So the folks in Europe, I think some part of Western Europe, now are running dairy farms with one person, the owner, because they've developed a machine that milks the cows. The cows themselves have been trained each morning to come into the milking stand to be milked by this automated milking machine. No human intervention whatsoever. No bunch of farmhands running, your dairy operation like it used to, no excessive amount of labor. So when you think about the things that may be safe roles, I wouldn't hang my hat on that too much, because replace it, it certainly can allow for significantly greater productivity, so needing fewer people.
Now, I like your observation. So here's where I'm going to now begin to cross the road. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the chicken that crosses the road. This year, June, let's just give a number of some 5,000 children.
Yeah, coming out of school.
That came out of school.
Mm-hmm.
The year before this, we had nearly the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
The population is basically consistent each year
for
the last few years. In terms of employment, we've not had a great track record when it comes to employment in this country. For people, daily life is what they call a hustle.
Yes.
You're speaking now about modernization, technological advancements, decreasing the amount of people on the job, but getting more productivity with the use of AI and other computerized components that can do the job of maybe 25 to 100 people at a time.
Yes.
Okay. You are a politician.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking about a new Bahamas, a better Bahamas, a Bahamas where we're going to guarantee more jobs. We want more people to come to our shores, where we have cruise lines, and we're going to increase our ecotourism. We have all these different economies. There's orange economy, purple economy, this sort of economy, all these economies, green economy, that economy, all type of economies. How do you account now for all these type of economies in the Bahamas? I'm not talking about globally. I'm not talking about worldwide. I'm talking about here in the Bahamas. How does that fit into the Bahamas, where this young man ain't even got the good enough sense to stand on the line and wait his friggin' turn? He won't walk to the front of the line in front of me. And guess served. Now I have to make a decision.
Yes.
I said, he feels entitled. He get to the back of the line. If I understand myself correctly, that's confrontation.
Okay.
Confrontation could mean that if he has a peanut brain,
he
could retaliate violently.
Yes.
In this town.
Absolutely.
So I now have to consider this man with these two long plaits in the back of his head, one little teardrop under the left or right eye, and look like he got one or two scars on his body. And you can see his lip black as friggin' shoe polish. Do you just let him slide?
Yeah, so...
Or
so,
do you be a senior man and say, young man, have some respect and go to the back of the line?
You can do both, but all I would say, you can do both.
Because we're trying to move forward technologically.
No, but you're trying to move forward with wisdom also.
What is wisdom?
So you noticed all of those things, right?
What is wisdom?
The police call it profiling.
I can profile you.
You profile them well. So
AI can't profile
them. No, AI ain't profiling that.
Okay then. So what you trying to tell me now?
I'm trying to tell you, if you're exercising wisdom in that moment, you to let that one slide.
But the one slide keeps sliding, because everywhere I go now, I'm noticing a young man are walking to the front of the line and saying, one leaf.
I got you.
One lighter, one Guinness, one collect. What the heck's going on in this town?
So
where's the spirit of entitlement coming from, where you feel you can just walk up anywhere and get served before everybody else, like we don't exist?
Yeah. Look, this is a slippery slope that you're talking about. It's a very valid and fair question, because to the extent that we allow all of these infractions to go unaddressed, creates chaos in the society, right? And we have a tendency to reward the wrong kind of behavior.
Okay.
But I think that there's a way for you to approach the young man that could potentially not be confrontational. You can say, excuse me, there are other people in line on the food as well, right? You don't have to say, "Boy, you ain't see us yet." You understand what I'm saying?
But a dignified spirit could also mean a weak spirit.
No.
What you mean?
No, it's only weak if you deem it to be weak.
No, man.
Yes.
You come and listen to me. People, I want you to listen to me.
No.
Darling Russell.
No.
I had a young man that stayed in my apartment building for a full year. And I paid his rent in my own apartment. I voluntarily paid the rent.
Okay.
I had no problem
paying the rent. Okay. Okay.
I paid the rent.
Okay.
This isn't the last fellow I just kicked out.
Oh, gotcha.
This
one before. All right.
I paid his rent.
Mm-hmm.
I paid his light bill, his water bill. I paid for their internet.
Okay.
And at one point, he had even gone to jail for about 2 months. I don't know what he did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was in jail, I made sure his family was covered.
Wow.
When he came out of jail, I said to my friend, you know, it's been a year. Mm-hmm. I can't go any further. I'm going to require that you start paying rent. Mm-hmm. So he said to me, yeah, man, that's fair. That's not a problem. Okay. And that was a nice conversation.
Yes. Right?
So at the end of that month, I said to him, sir, you have some funds with me. You know what that fellow called me? He said, you big sissy. And he started cussing me out.
Okay.
And I stood there in just abhorrence. I was in total shock. I was back. I'm like, mm-hmm. what in the hell? Where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
So it must mean that for the full year, he felt entitled. No?
No.
How did he feel living there for a full year, didn't have to pay any rent? How did he feel?
No, you gave him a gift, if I understand your story.
I'm listening.
Okay, you gave him a gift.
Uh-huh.
It was not something that he asked for. Correct me at any point in the story.
But it led to where I felt I had to do this for them because he had this family, young children.
Okay, so that's on you.
That was on me.
That's on you.
That's on me.
Now, I'm glad that you brought up an example like this, Garth, because it's very instructional, and I'll tell you why. You know I run several businesses in this town.
Yeah.
One of them, I have customers, some customers, that have this same spirit that you are referring to. And here's what I have learned. The very people that you extend the greatest grace to are the ones that turn around and speak most ill of you or take advantage of said grace.
Okay.
Now
we get
here is what our responsibilities are as Christians. I feel. You dust your shoes off and you leave those ones to God.
Oh yeah.
Now, that does not mean you don't pursue them in court. That does not mean you don't evict them. That does not mean you don't continue to be a responsible business person. Because I have done all of those things and still shaken the dust off of my feet and no longer do business with those individuals. Mm-hmm. But what they owe me is, to use our word of the day, an entitlement of mine. They used my services and did not pay, or short paid me, and I, out of grace, let it go. But I didn't let it go in all cases. Some cases, I pursued them in court. And what did the Bible say to David? Go recover it all. And I got it all back. Okay?
They can quote you another scripture.
No, no, no.
You don't take your brother to court. That's the other one.
Like I said, some of them I didn't. Mm-hmm. Others I did. You could say, you have to show me that scripture, by the way, not to take your brother to court.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay?
Go ahead.
But I am saying that to say, if there is something, and this is where we need a spirit of discernment, mm-hmm. my brother. Mm-hmm. If there's something about that interaction that doesn't sit well in your spirit, mm-hmm. I would say, you go before God and ask God, you know what, if should I let this go or should I pursue this thing? And I believe that he will give you an answer. That's just how I prefer to move. But what I don't want you to do, and which is what the human side of us has a tendency to do, is allow those wicked, selfish people who take advantage of you to change the nature of who you are. Mm-hmm. Because God does for us based on his nature, not on our behavior. And that's what we have to be mindful of. Because if we allow the outside world to change our nature, we are no better than the unsaved. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I have to fight every single day when people offend me, hurt me, take advantage of me. I have to fight to come back to the place and the person that I believe God has called me to be. So that's just my sermonette for today. I just didn't want that to go unaddressed.
Well, I like how you broke that down, Darvin. But I had to get very strong with him, of course. And, of course, he eventually came out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that for several tenants in the past, just based on whether I was doing well or not.
Yes.
I felt that you could always give back to society, give back to communities. This is what we're supposed to do as brothers. And as you just said, the people that you give great favor to mm-hmm. sometimes seem to be the ones that just simply take
always.
You to task.
Absolutely.
So put that in the political sense of politicians now. And I thought about this. And I says, you know what? Here's a politician who comes into your community And he has some 5,000 to 7,000 constituents that are going to be voting in the next election.
Yeah.
And there's some things that he has as a vision that he promises that, you know what, I want to accomplish these things. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with a vision is that everyone that hears that vision mm-hmm. is going to now feel a sense of entitlement that you're speaking directly to me. So if you say we want to make sure that we have people that have jobs in our community, mm-hmm. then if I don't have a job, he got to be talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
All right, talk that talk. Go ahead. Yeah, I like where you're going with this.
You know, if he say, you know what, we can make sure the parks got lights. Mm-hmm. Now you got about 5-6 parks in your constituency. Okay. But that got to be my park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where the last administration never put those lights back on this park.
I see where you're going. Mm-hmm.
So he must see me in our park. So when I say to them, you mean our park? They say, yeah, mm-hmm. man, we can fix all the parks.
All the parks, yeah.
All the side of the road, we would move all this garbage, all these old cars, mm-hmm. all these old refrigerators. They got to go. Mm-hmm. If you ain't had no running water before, we got to give you running water. If you mm-hmm. ain't had no indoor toilet, we got to give you a toilet. Mm-hmm. We got to do all these things. Mm-hmm. That's what the politicians say.
Yes.
So in your mind, you're sensing an entitlement. Now, after he's elected, we got to ask ourselves the question, what is the real definition of entitlement? Caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hope you're doing well today.
We are well. Happy Sunday.
It's always good to hear from you.
Yes. Well, God, I mean, whenever you see them fellas, them jumping the line, God, I mean, just all, but you look at it, just laugh at it and say, boy, these fellas are suffering, I say, because like Kyoko was trying to tell you, sometimes certain things ain't waited, you never know how certain things may end up with a simple thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You may say the wrong thing and fella may fight with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that kind of thing. So we just look at it and laugh and say, boy, these fellas are suffering, I mean, because in actuality, there's only one person just getting an item and going, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it doesn't really take that much off you, you know what I mean?
My sisters say a chicken in the bag ain't worth your life.
Yeah, it's all about how you look at it. Yeah. It's all about how you perceive it. Yeah. Don't let it amuse you as opposed to angering you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But when your co-host started off the show and he was talking about the different types of entitlement, mm-hmm. I was to me, they were like more leaning to manipulative behaviors.
Very true.
Right, I mean, mm-hmm. like when I was listening to it, because when he started the show, I think he was talking about things that can be considered, what they call it, inalienable rights.
Yes, yes.
I think he started to talk about those things, and I thought it might have been more like we can talk about things that like people should have a right to in society mm-hmm. or things like that too. But one of the ones he mentioned, I think it was impulsive entitlement.
Yes.
I think I saw that on the radio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw that in some talk show host. I think I saw that impulsive entitlement. I think I honestly witnessed that for myself. You know what I mean? But I feel as if though the greatest entity where entitlement is practiced is in the realms of government, and not only from politicians but civil servants also.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Politicians go in and they feel as if they have an entitlement to certain things, like to be wealthy or to control certain contracts and different things. We know how it goes, you know what I mean? They go in and they feel entitled. They feel as if that, they, you know what I mean? Even though that's not their job, they feel as if they're entitled to all the money, right? You have workers on the job who feel as if they're entitled to tips and perks, you know what I mean? That they try to use their job to gain, you know what I mean, more from,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of, I mean, even in this, I mean, they feel as if they're entitled to not give you proper service.
So,
you know, that they're like government.
So let me ask you this. You know, you know, because you're a wise man, you know as well as we do that this is a first-time politician coming to our house, no matter which party they are. I'm taking politics out of this. Just a politician, first-time politician. And they're coming to you with a message that definitely they're going to improve what's before them. They will do a better job. You can trust them to do so. They are selling to us that they are better than their predecessor.
Mm-hmm.
As you're listening to them, in your mind, do you see someone who's approaching you with every ambition to feel entitled as a politician to get a chauffeur, the new car ride, the health plan and benefits, the life insurance, free travel, four meets, like they say in the House mm-hmm. Assembly, a nice, cool air-conditioned office, and a pay rate that they've never received in their entire lifetime. Do we ever stop to think that this is what they're asking of us when they knock on our doors? Or do we simply say, I like Darwin more than Garth. Mm-hmm. I like Wally more than Garth. And so I'm going to go with Wally.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Wally gets in, we say, well, Jesus, Lord, Wally living good, hey? Why, Wally ain't checking for us no more, hey? Mm-hmm. So why do we have the same conversation over and over again? Because we ourselves want that entitlement. We want a better car. We want a better house. We want a better job. We want an air-conditioned office. And that's what we want. That's why we're going to elect you, so that we can have access to these things. And for every cycle, the politician seems to get it before we do. Talk to me.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, God. And I used to say in the past, like, when you're considering who to vote for in your constituency, the best way to consider is which one of these candidates you want to make rich.
But that's a truthful answer, yeah. Right?
Okay.
That's a truthful answer.
That's what I'm saying, because you know what I mean? And no matter, I have been voted for a very long time.
Right.
I've been completely away from the politics because I understand how it is, and I've seen what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I mean, but people have been conditioned, God, to just go into these frenzies. You see, they call it silly season. So people,
come
around. People are orchestrating when election time come around. People are orchestrating. Mm-hmm. It's just a conditioning of life that shook, because people don't really have been that much going on where they create other entertainment in their life or other like the purposeful life outside of what is going on in society. People connect their life with what's going on in society. They sit down, they listen to the radio, and they get, you know, they get the insight of what people are talking about, and then they go, they talk about that. Like people don't come up with their own, they don't sit down and think outside the box, per se.
Very true.
You know, but what I was saying about the, I wanted your guests to probably tell me, but is there an entitlement for merit? Is there merit entitlement? Like, if you're an individual who has achieved a certain standard of greatness or a certain level that is supposed to be recognized and supported by government, one of the things I think is that government employees also feel entitled to steal people's ideas when they come and bring it to them. That's some serious entitlement, and that goes with your codes with saying people wicked, et cetera, et cetera. What is our responsibility as a people when we see individuals who achieve that merit entitlement being robbed of that from government? Do we, as people, even though we are not affected by it personally, we are affected by it indirectly somehow, but what should we do? Should we stand back and just witness it? Or if we have some leverage, right, should we not use that leverage to help that person? Because how else are these things going to stop unless people who have the leverage, people who have the, because as long as you're nobody in society, ain't nobody can listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if the individuals who are supposed to be somebody, who's supposed to have power and influence in society, if they are not using it to better society, but only to like make themselves look like they better than the rest of us, then what good are they to us?
Mm.
You understand? What Fair good question. Is your power and your influence and your et cetera if you can't use it in the way to better society outside of being able to say, oh, look what I have achieved.
Mm-hmm.
When you see someone being taken advantage of in society, when you see someone being denied a right that you know that, why don't you stand up for them?
Fair enough. I'll answer your question. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, my brother. Good to hear from you.
You have a good day.
All right.
So Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Mm-hmm. One of the things, it's interesting that the caller acknowledged that he hasn't voted maybe for several election cycles. And I want us to recognize that we too have a responsibility during this silly season. And we have a responsibility that our forefathers fought for, which is our entitlement or the right to vote. And I think we should exercise that, regardless of the situation. You and I both have ran as independent candidates. And I find that oftentimes, although we may desire or say that, change is what we seek, choosing candidates that have a heart for the people, we still have, as a culture,
and as a country consistently voted against our very own best interests by selecting some of the people that we have chosen to govern us.
But that's another debate. I'll leave that there. No, don't leave me coming back to that. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line.
Hey, good afternoon, God, Boris.
Boy, that sounds like Bamboo Town.
Yeah, cool. The gentleman that was on minutes ago, he left off with a good thing, standing up for people that you believe or that you know is right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know the person is right.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some cowardly people just because the boss,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they depend on the little job that they have. They depend on the boss. They're afraid to tell the boss, man, boss, you was wrong. My boy really was right, you know. My boy, right, you know. But you know, they're afraid to lose the little job.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? God, our friend is going through this thing right now as we speak. We won't get into details with it now.
Let's talk about this spirit of entitlement and stealing of ideas. Watch this.
Another thing too, what the gentleman said, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you know the woman have a fiance or a boyfriend or a husband, whatever,
mm-hmm.
but you want this woman. So you go and sell her your dream. To try and get away from her lover.
Mm-hmm.
That is how the politicians carry on.
Mm-hmm.
They sell you a dream. Now, if you weak and fall with a dream, then you get what you get.
So let me fix this for you. Let me take some pressure off just the politician, because this is where Darwin and I, we always have a little tango. Mm-hmm. You ready for this, caller?
Yeah, go ahead.
Watch this now. How many churches do you figure we have in this country? In New Providence alone, the island of New Providence.
Roughly, but 2,000.
You have give and take. 2,000 churches, right?
Yeah.
And all these are places of holiness, places of sanctification, places of revelation, places of inspiration, places that the name of a great God is established. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. That means then that we have a minimum of maybe 1,000 or more ministers of the gospel that exercise.
We have more than 1,000.
But I just trying to be nice. It is still Sunday.
Go ahead.
Trying to be nice.
Make your point.
Look at Darwin. Darwin getting ready for me. So here we go, Glenn, right?
I listen to you. Okay. I listen to you too.
Now, these people wake up one morning.
Yes, sir.
And they feel a spirit that comes upon them that they need to go out there and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That makes them a servant of the Most High God, yes?
Mm-hmm. Of the Most High God, not
a vessel,
of the members
a vessel,
in church.
A vessel,
be a, of the
a vessel,
church,
to be, a vessel to be used for righteous good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's get the entitlement, because this entitlement from the politician, I'm going to show you how it's just like that of the preacher, man.
It is.
You mean I don't have to break this down for you?
No, it's the same thing. No.
Yesterday you was just a member. Today you was a preacher.
That,
and now
you
put up on robe. And now we go in from where you giving the money to where you taking the money.
When robe and when big cross around your neck. And
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question.
Stay
fake, Shane.
Go ahead.
Since you brought up the church, God, and to your co-host.
Uh-huh.
Listen to me.
And I don't have to stop there. I can stop there. I can even talk about the union president or the union leader.
If there's a church.
Same thing.
If there's a church in Nassau with 500 members,
mm-hmm.
listen to me. No, I wouldn't go that far. 200 members.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those people put in, we're using $10 put in way more than $10.
You're counting them people money.
No, I want to show you. No, I'm going somewhere with this.
Uh-huh.
Each one of them putting in $10. That'd be what, $2,000?
How much people?
200 people.
Uh-huh.
At $10 a piece.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I dined the tithes now.
Oh, okay,
dined
10 grand.
Offering.
Yeah,
dined the offering for the first lady yacht. Dined the offering for the pastor suiting. That's just one offering.
Mm-hmm. $500
people,
$20.
Think anybody in that church light should be off?
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop
Do you
it.
Think anybody in that church should have to be hustling to buy 2 uniform pants and 3 uniform shirts?
No, we got some churches. We got some churches that do some good work now.
See, this is one of the problems that I have with how we demonize churches in the
community. No, I'm not demonizing the church.
Hold on, Carlo. You are representing a narrative that is spoken to on national radio and in national print media and on social media. And I am not attacking you personally, but this comes from a place of the unknown.
The unknown.
Okay.
What is the unknown, darling?
They're ignorant. People are ignorant mm-hmm. about what churches are actually doing in their communities.
I can let you finish.
The work that churches do. Uh-huh. On average, is yeoman's... No.
Supposed to do that is correct, God.
No.
Supposed to do.
No, that do.
You have a pastor...
No, there are some churches that do. Okay. There are some churches that
okay.
do.
Okay. That do. More churches
Sunday,
do.
But yet he want to pay a pastor's salary every month or every week, however.
More churches do that don't do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're correct. You
so,
know. Don't get me wrong. I'm not attacking the church.
No,
you know.
But when I... Listen to what I said to my co-host earlier. Context is important. When we, especially as members of the body of Christ, speak about these matters in the way that we do, it can come across very irresponsibly, and we paint the church, the entire body of Christ, with this brush that says, if only they all did what they were supposed to do, this is the language that we talk in, there would be no people going without. There would be no people going without food, shelter, clothing. Let me tell you something. The very same people that speak about the church not doing, I bet money that 90% of them don't tithe.
I'm not talking about my church.
Let me finish.
I'm talking about
no, I can let you finish.
Nice.
But that's precisely my point, my brother.
Watch
God, let me say this for
go ahead.
You sound very smart, sir. What is the churches? Not all, you know, you need all the church. A quarter of the churches get together and do a credit union. Do a big food store.
Do an insurance company.
Mm-hmm. The churches are so divided, everybody trying to watch that and change.
You bring a good point, caller. You bring a good point. And thank you for your call.
There's no organization in the world bigger than the church on Sunday.
I like what you're saying.
All the church people get together on a Sunday.
My brother, we go have coffee at Starbucks and have this conversation.
I like what you're saying, friend. I like what you're saying. All right, my boy. Listen, man. This is Remark. I don't know why we do this. We just get hot around 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But we got to take this quick break, folks. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM Remark. We'll listen out for you on the other side of the break. Take it.
We got a good time. You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardians website online at thenassauguardian.com. The Nassau Guardians interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss, compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I think the show is over. I think the show is over. Wally just showed off today.
Yeah.
Wally want to be 60 so
absolutely.
Bad. I don't
absolutely.
Know why. I don't know why Wally doing this yeah. today, but hey.
We having too much fun in the studio.
It is great to have fun here with yeah. Wally on the board. And, you know, we have Darvin Russell here, the co-host. This is Garth Roseboro, Remark, here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm going to throw those numbers out real quick as we get back into this heated conversation. The numbers were 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. I listen to both you and the caller, Darvin Russell. Mm-hmm. And anytime you talk, I'll tell you what I noticed. Mm-hmm. We talked about entitlement generally.
Yes.
We spoke about entitlement in terms of young people. Mm-hmm. We spoke about entitlement in terms of politics. Mm-hmm. And the minute we went from politics to religion, mm-hmm. it starts to heat up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he made valid points. Mm-hmm. You came back and you balanced it with a valid point. Mm-hmm. I believe the culprit, however, is something that we cannot erase from both sides of the argument.
Okay, talk about the elephant in the room.
The culprit is money.
Okay.
The mission of the church has nothing to do with money.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing mm-hmm. to do with it. But the minute we bring money into the picture,
yes.
there's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens everywhere we go in life. In politics, in the classroom, you know, teachers are not supposed to strike,
mm-hmm.
but they do sick outs. Mm-hmm. Nurses are not supposed to strike. They do sick outs because it's not supposed to be about the money.
Police officers.
Police officers, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you bring money into the equation, then you got to look at texts in the Bible like Malachi chapter 2 and chapter 3.
Bringing you on the side.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, it mm-hmm. says that when you did tithe, you tithe with your corn, your wine, your hurdling, and so forth and so on, and, mm-hmm. you know, the grain of your field.
Yes.
And you put those into storehouses yeah. so that every 3 years, the people that brought these things to the priests would get a portion of that, and they would give a portion back to the priest, and the stranger and the widow and the fatherless and these people, the orphans, would mm-hmm. all get a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have nothing to do with money.
Right.
Unless the place was too far that you could not travel, then the Bible says you turn these things into money and carry it, and then you repurchase these things and you share these things out.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the caller is saying is that in today's society, even though there are ministries, and we do know of ministries in this country that do an excellent job in sharing out.
Yes.
There's some of you that do things, and no one will ever know about it because you're not looking for any
thank you.
Of thank you. Or self.
Thank
or,
you.
You don't want people to know the things that you're going into the
absolutely.
Prisons, and you're going through the neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and you're talking to people who want to, you know, end their lives,
mm-hmm.
and people who are trying to feed children.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out there working. There are people who are working who are members of churches who are doing more than the pastors are doing.
Yeah.
But they're still a part of what we call church.
Mm-hmm.
So the church is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is needed in society,
mm-hmm.
and we're not downing the church. But what we are simply saying, once again, is that there seems to be a spirit of entitlement that when people become pastors, their cars change, their houses change, and their children go to the best of schools like the politicians do. And the Bible makes mention of that, Darvin, in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
When the children of Israel said, we want a king.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be like all the other nations around us. We want a king. And God says, well, I am your king.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no. theocratic government can't work for us. We want to be like everyone else. We want our own king, mm-hmm. earthly king.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they went and got King Saul.
Yeah.
And the prophet said, well, God said that if you have a king, if you have a politician, if you have a pastor, if you have a union leader, these type people, these people are going to get the best of everything. Mm-hmm. There's going to come a sense of entitlement mm-hmm. along with their title. Mm-hmm. And so entitlement and title, when you wrap that all together, some things got to come your way. Mm-hmm. So the Bible says they're going to get the best of your horses, mm-hmm. the best of your herds, the best of your vineyard, the best of your houses, the best of the women. They're going to get the best of everything. And if you look at that particular trend in terms of entitlement in the Bahamas today, anytime you see someone who's CEO, president, or pastor, or MP, or cabinet minister, or prime minister, or governor, these are the entitled people who get the best. Now, someone tell me that I'm telling lies. Go ahead, Darwin Russell.
But you know, some things, what Mr. Ingram used to say.
No stamina. You're a smart fellow.
I don't have a stomach.
Go ahead.
What Mr. Ingram say? Some things you leave, some things you tell.
No, we can tell it all.
No, I can leave this one today.
You can leave that one today.
But here's what I would say.
Go ahead.
We talked before the break about what should our posture be when you gave the example of the gentleman skipping the line and the first caller talked about when you see some injustice happening, what should be our position and our posture. You know that I read quite a bit, and one of the things that I like to pay attention to are quotes, poetry, in addition to the written word. And the famous Italian poet who wrote Dante's Inferno, which is a famous poem that I'm sure you are familiar with, mm-hmm. there's a quote that's attributed to him that I always remember. Mm-hmm. That is appropriate to use this evening. And he said, the hottest parts of hell are reserved for those who, during a moment of crisis, maintain their neutrality.
Mm.
I'm going to read that again. Mm. The hottest parts of hell are reserved for those who, in times of great moral crisis, maintain their neutrality. And what that speaks to is there are these pivotal times, seasons, opportunities, decisions that we have to make, whether it's to defend a person, whether it's to speak on behalf of the weak, whether it is to make a decision that you know to be right, but you're pressured to do the wrong thing. In many places and spaces that we find ourselves as leaders, both small and great,
mm-hmm.
we are called upon to do that which is right, because you have to do that which is right even when there is no reward. Because doing right has its own reward, because God keeps score of what it is you're doing. And we as Bahamians have to demand greater accountability of ourselves when it comes to knowing what to do and not doing. You know, one of my devotional this week really stayed with me for the rest of the week. So much so it almost felt as though I didn't read another devotional. But this one really resonated with me. And the author of the devotional said, oftentimes we think about sin and the things we do that are wrong as sin. We forget that some of the things that we know we ought to do and don't do is also sin.
But that's all in your head.
You get you, no, no, no.
That's
no,
in your head.
That you know what God told you to do. You know that the person on the side of the road was deserving of the $2 that he asked you for. You chose not to do that, but that's between you and God. Ain't nobody else see that.
In your head.
In your head. Ain't anybody else know that.
Okay.
But you get convicted of that before you get to the next light.
Some people don't live by conviction.
No, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm talking to people who do.
I do.
And so we have to bear in mind that we bear a responsibility to be good citizens and good citizens even when we're scared.
And okay. We are in a moment in time, Garth, where there are some decisions that need to be made, some courageous decisions that need to be made by us, the citizenry. Us, the citizenry.
Yeah, but it ain't that simple no more, Darvin.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Why? Talk to me.
For the last 3-4 days, mm-hmm. I did an experiment. Nobody knew about it.
Mm-hmm. I like your experiments.
I went to an establishment. Mm-hmm. Same establishment where the guy walked in front of the line.
For the backwood, yeah.
Who feel entitled.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Every time I went there's another gentleman there. Now, you smart. You use my AI.
Yeah, I got a little bit of sense.
Go ahead, ChatGPT or whatever it's called.
Yeah, ChatGPT. What you want me to prompt?
Okay, go ahead. Tell me what you think the next fella was doing there by the window. Tell me.
The one who come up for the backwood.
No, that's a different fella.
Okay.
And what is the next fella? The next fella
the
who...
The one who was right in line next.
No, he ain't in line. He just stand there. Well, tell me what he say to me when he see me.
But I know.
What you mean you ain't know you smart? The first thing come there say, good afternoon or good day, sir, or whatever. That's the first line come of their mouth. The next line will come out of their mouth is, you can't give me $1.
Okay.
Now you did that to me 3 days in a row.
Bro, yes.
This the fourth day. I then realized that you're saying good
profession.
Day. You're saying good day to me.
Is the setup.
Ain't no setup. It's your way of saying that I now have an entitlement. Once I say good afternoon to you, I have the strength and the authorization to say to you, you don't care if I say good afternoon back.
Okay.
You don't care if I don't even look at you.
No, I feel
all you care about is if I can pass you that dollar.
Yeah, that's deep right there.
Now that in itself is another type of entitlement.
Okay.
Because entitlement is that if I'm nice to you, you owe me $1.
Yes.
And I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. This is why I'm talking about this today. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's deep.
These
right
people
there.
All have entitlements. Mm-hmm. And I would join you, and I think it was very profound in your explanation, because I agree with our callers today, by the way, in some way or form. The first call was also very profound. But when you meet these type people, and I'm guilty of this too, but I just want to confess my sins today. Mm-hmm. You meet the politician, you meet the governor general, mm-hmm. you meet the prime minister, and mm-hmm. you look at the type of car they drive, mm-hmm. the type of suits they wear in, mm-hmm. the type of houses they live in, mm-hmm. the type of schools their children go to,
yes.
the type of salary they make in, mm-hmm. and the type of freedoms that they have. You sometimes have a problem with them because you say, you know what, we voted you in, and now look how you live in, and look at how we live in. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my issue. My issue is that the Bible said that when you elect these people,
yes,
this is what they can get. Mm-hmm. Don't care who you elect, mm-hmm. whether it's PLP, FNM, or anybody else. Mm-hmm. These people can live good off of the government money.
Okay.
Period. Mm-hmm. I don't care. We have all kind of plan in the world. But the number one plan for these people is to live good.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to end this show without bringing this point home to you.
Mm-hmm.
There is left yet a conversation of entitlement that we have not yet touched on, and I want to touch on before we go.
Go ahead.
You now have to ask yourself, Bahamian people, and those people who are listening from around the world, listen to what I'm saying to you. You have an obligation mm-hmm. to define what is your own entitlement.
Okay. Okay.
You already know they can live good. You already know they got the best.
Mm-hmm.
What are you now prepared to do in terms of entitlement for yourself? How do you open the windows or the doors of entitlement for your own life?
Okay.
Because they're not going to give you theirs. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. No one does that of that particular stature.
Okay.
Get it out your head.
Mm-hmm.
We can fix the parks. We can fix the light. We can fix the road. Or we can lock up all illegal immigrants and send them back to where they come from. Oh, we're going to make sure all the cruise ships come in. We can fix the airport. We can make sure we get a new Bahamas air. All that good talk. La, 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 la. That's how we say on our show for Rima. So much things to say. But you then know. Before they do all these things, they can take care of their own.
Okay.
They can take care of themselves. That's their entitlement.
So are you suggesting today?
I see you, caller. I'm coming to you in a minute, caller.
That we as the citizenry are supposed to place our demands, our entitlement list to them.
You can't.
In exchange for.
You can't. Okay. You need to learn that lesson.
Gotcha.
You cannot demand anything from these people.
Okay.
You will never, in this lifetime or the next lifetime, be able to demand anything from them. They can only bestow to you in their own interest of entitlement to say, you know what? I want to live another 5 years like this, so I better fix that one park light over there. I better fix that little pothole over there. I can cut down a little bush over here. I only need to do enough so I can once again enjoy the entitlement that I have for another 5 years.
All right, then. Talk that talk.
So now,
in terms of my own entitlement and what I want. Do I want a bigger house? Do I want a better car? Do I want my children going to better schools? Huh? Do I want an office job? Now you got to say to myself, I deserve these things, and I am going to make sure I get them by not any means necessary, but by legal means and by honest means. Mm-hmm. I want these for myself. I can't wait for that man or that woman to bring it to me. I can't wait for pastor to bless me and put the anointing upon me and say, oh, God is going to bless you, and he's going to pour out the winners of heaven upon. No. I go to God for myself, because next thing I know, my pastor having an affair with a little girl in the church. Okay. My pastor having a little drug problem. I can't depend on us, like my caller said. I got to go to God for myself. I am demanding from my God an entitlement based on his title and my title of my father, and I am his child.
Yeah, let's
I got to get that entitlement. Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead.
Caller, go ahead. You're on the line. Caller?
Evening to both of you, Mr. Russell and Mr. Roseboro.
Good evening, my brother.
Well, you sound good, eh? You and your politician, eh? Or preacher?
I've been called worse.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's good to have you, man. Go ahead.
First time caller.
Okay.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, sir.
I want to speak to two things quickly because I don't know how much time you have left.
Yeah, you're probably the last call we can take today, so you got
to... We live in a world of words.
Yes, sir.
And words matter. They're extremely important.
They are.
The last caller spoke about the church, and you also spoke about the church. I want to speak to that issue first.
Please do.
Go ahead.
Often, when we hear the word church, we associate it with Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
But if you read the Bible carefully, Jesus said, after answering a question that he posed his disciples, that only one of them got it right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, on this rock, I will build my church.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll build a church. He said, I'll build the church.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tendency to be, to say rather, the church, and refer to it as the Church of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Now, if you understand words, the word my is descriptive, which means that it implies that there are other churches that, I don't have time to go into all of this, but
okay.
I just want to mention that point.
Okay, fair enough.
The second point, you equated the election of politicians with kings, when you said that that the Bible says when you elect certain people, they will take the best, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, kings are not voted into power.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, the Bible never said anything about electing politicians into power. As a matter of fact, this is an entirely different type of government.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
The Bible is the most misunderstood book that was ever written.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ and God is also misunderstood.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have enough time to get into all the details. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make those two quick points.
Yeah, this is a good way to
thank
end,
you for
appreciate
well,
that.
The opportunity.
We welcome you, and we look forward to hearing from you again, and possibly you'll call in earlier next time, and we can hear more from you. But quite intelligent.
Yeah, man.
Very well positioned. And, of course, he sounds a bit scholarly mm-hmm, there, mm-hmm. almost as if he's a theologian
himself.
Yeah,
I was getting ready for class.
That was good. But, you know, I want to invite you all to continue to support Remark. I just want to throw those numbers out there for Guardian Radio. People got to understand, you know, Guardian Radio is a business,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we need your support. So if you want us to market your business through public relations and sales, go ahead and give our office a call, 302-2300, 302-2300. Just ask for the marketing department. April, those will be there to assist you. The management and staff here at Guardian Radio appreciates you here on a Sunday. And just as a courtesy to the co-host, Darvin Russell, I just want to give him the last remark today. But it's always a pleasure to have him. It's always inspirational, sometimes challenging, but that's why we're here. Go ahead, Darvin Russell. Take the show home.
As you know, as we embark on, is it 2 weeks vacation, Garth?
Soon.
Or we could be here next week? What'd you say?
I think next week we could do next
week.
Okay,
we may be here next week.
Yeah.
But I want you all to have a safe, prosperous, happy, and go to the beach tomorrow on August Monday. The weather has been super hot.
Mm-hmm.
Go and cool yourself off. And have a fun time.
Swim with a partner, though. Yeah, they need to swim with a partner, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
you
be
know,
safe.
People are being swept out to
absolutely.
Sea. Absolutely. So we don't want any of that
absolutely.
Happening.
And avoid Cabbage Beach. That undertow out there is lethal. So
my Lord.
Yeah. But have a good August Monday tomorrow, everybody. Please be safe out there. Thank you for listening. This is Remark on Guardian 96.9 FM. Never wanna leave.